Dearly beloved in Christ, first off, I would like to wish all the mothers a very happy and blessed Mother's Day. We know, of course, that it is not a day instituted by the church, but we can recognize how fitting it is to have this day in honor of motherhood and for those mothers who pour so much loving care into the upbringing of their children. How fitting it is that it should be held in May, the month dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary, our spiritual mother. Now more than ever, we need pious and loving mothers to stand strong against the influence of the world with all diligence and wisdom. But obviously, it's not up to just the mother of the family. The ultimate strength of the entire family is in its unity. Every member has a part to play in the spiritual success of the young, blossoming family unit. The first and most important goal of the family is to be holy so that they can attain salvation. The family is where everyone's journey starts, no matter what vocation you may have. Consequently, the family is where you must first learn to strive for holiness and salvation. The parents are, of course, the first teachers, and every decision they make should have this end in mind. For what doth it profit a man if he gain the world and suffer the loss of his soul? The building blocks beneath the idea of holiness are frequenting the sacraments, keeping the commandments, making the home a sanctuary for the practice of virtue. Spiritual reading is likewise a very powerful tool in our quest for sanctity. Reading the lives of the saints or sections from the Bible, meditation books such as The Imitation of Christ or The Spiritual Combat. Need I mention the rosary? Especially during the month of May, we should be devoted to saying the rosary. It is a prayer that is most pleasing to Almighty God, and if said together, one that unites the family in a true Christ-like spirit, almost like nothing else. But there are basic things throughout the ages of history that have always been necessary for the family. And these would be things like the practice of the virtues, faith, hope, charity, prudence, justice, fortitude. We have to show children what to do and how to react when suffering and crosses come our way, living a self-sacrificing life for one another, teaching the children how they should raise their own families by good example. The pinnacle of all this, I think, is the virtue of charity. We must have love one for another among the members of the church, the mystical body of Christ. So how much more should we love our own family members? If families were truly imbued with a spirit of charity, they would face fewer struggles and heartaches. But the parents set the tone. They are responsible for the atmosphere of the home, and in many cases, the mother, by her prayer and good example, leads the family in their efforts to establish this atmosphere of piety. She it is that prepares them for the most important graces received in the church. And it is an extremely important point to remember that growing in virtue, knowledge, and love of faith, praying with fervor, are not just for the times that we are physically at church. We must bring home these good works in a strong faith. We must preserve that atmosphere of quiet sanctity in the house. Like the most holy union we would have seen in the house of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. In his encyclical Casti Connubii, Pope Pius XI says, quite fittingly, therefore, and quite in accordance with the defined norms of Christian sentiment, do those pastors of souls act who, to prevent married couples from failing in the observance of God's law, urge them to perform their duty and exercise their religion so that they should give themselves to God, constantly asking his divine assistance, frequenting the sacraments, and always nourishing and preserving a loyal and thoroughly sincere devotion to God. Surely the words also apply to young folks looking forward to marriage. They should seek to appreciate to the full the help the church can give them in the tasks that lie ahead in their future married life. However, they must not look upon religion merely as a matter for their parish church and the ministrations of their pastors. On the contrary, they must look upon it also as a matter of the home. Indeed, they must aim to make their homes, at least in some measure, replicas of their parish church. They must seek, in the words of St. John Chrysostom, to make them churches in miniature. And we accomplish this by prayer, not just vocal prayer, but the spirit of prayer, by which we maintain a prayerful attitude throughout the day, thanking God for the joys and the crosses that come our way. Likewise, the pious use of sacramentals is a powerful help, not only in stirring up devotion and bringing to mind the ultimate mission we have here on earth, which is the love of God and the salvation of our souls, but also in warding off the spirit of the world and the assaults of the devil. We use blessed palms, blessed chalk, holy water, blessed holy pictures, crucifixes. We have the blessing of homes, which took place recently. The point is, the home is our sanctuary from the attacks of the world. Who we are as individuals has a lot to do with the upbringing we've had in our homes and the influence of our parents, though it may be only a subconscious influence. Parents have a great responsibility toward their children and each other. Unity and fidelity are the cornerstones of a strong and healthy family. So let us remember to invoke the saints, to learn of their lives for their good example they can give us. Let us kindle faith and pair it with the necessary good works. Let us not forget to pray the rosary every day, be we single or married. Remember that we are the spiritual family of Mary, who is our spiritual mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.